Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, it's official. Lindsey Vonn needs a lawyer. There's no doubt about that after witnessing that firsthand.
Yep.
Speaking of firsthand, and you're absolutely right about the tiger paw
shaking it.
Yeah,
yeah, did the old shake.
Yeah, there's no doubt he self-inflicted that wound.
It's a trick every dude learns. I think that's one of the first things you learn as a young man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
not really.
Not
necessary.
As a below average white guy, I learned that trick pretty early on.
No, I totally agree with you, though. I think that's exactly what happened.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Without a doubt, which is why he's sending out press releases to draw attention to it without actually getting into any legal...
You think?
Yeah. This screams, look at me, look at me.
But Lindsey Vonn, so we all agree, pretty nice.
Yeah, you would expect that body. Based on the fact that to do what she
athlete,
does, she's got to be in good shape.
Yep.
But she doesn't disappoint.
And she's not shy, apparently.
Evidently not. And she pretty much fits the Tiger Woman mode.
Yeah.
If those were all on her phone, she participates.
That's funny.
Yikes.
I'm just trying to catch up on the text. These, I don't know why I do this.
Now
sometimes.
You're getting a whole bunch of links, probably.
No, yeah, and I'm not. I'm just going to
you
the one that
open
had.
Those,
nope, right? Just the one that had the celebrity jihad in the URL. That was it.
So I'm sure we'll get your favorite texters to get involved when we hit on Browns Giants.
Oh yeah. Did you think that was a dirty hit?
I did.
Odell Beckham Jr.?
I did.
Okay.
I did. I think, one, because it's preseason, but two, more importantly, and Nick and I actually looked at it when you went to grab a stand. They slow-mo'd it, and we looked at it a couple more times. He clearly has his head down looking at the lower leg. I thought that based on the angle that he had been taking, he could easily have made contact with the upper thigh and the hip area, but it looked to me like he dove down that way, that direction, kind of intentionally.
Nick?
Yeah, I kind of had a chance. When I saw it on replay, when Joel, because we were in the side studio in our production meeting, he just looked like he went too low to the ground. Like, low enough to be dirty, but not low enough to be like a normal, you know, sweep. You know how they kind of just jump on the ground and try to trip a running, you know, running back or whatever the case may be. He just looked too low.
Yeah, I felt like when I saw it that it was one of those plays where he could have driven through the tackle. Instead of diving... You know what I mean? He could have hit him in midair around the waist and driven him.
If he was driving, too, to your point, he would have probably stayed a little higher.
Yeah.
Because the leg is planted in the ground, pushing him more upward as he's going forward.
Yeah, he dove at the leg. And I'm with most people, including Arian Foster, who tweeted out, there's just no reason for that in
preseason.
I get that you're trying to make a play, but you have to be smart.
You're going to make the roster because you're on the field with OBJ in a preseason game, which means you're probably on the depth chart where you need to be. But you don't need to do that. I don't think you need to do it at any time. But if in a regular season game, you would think he'd probably go high.
Yeah. He just looked too parallel with the ground. Like, he looked too level with the ground, and he was too close to the ground to make it not look like a dirty shot. But in real time, I guess how you can kind of see how you might be confused, but... Yeah,
the only thing you say in his defense, because he was getting a lot of heat on Twitter from a lot of players.
Yeah,
a lot of current players were like, "Bro, that's just uncool." But the only thing you can say is, you know, because like Barry said, he wasn't planted. That it's hard to change direction or pull up once you're full throttle airborne, going at a play. to try and go to his if you want to try and defend the guy. But it, to me, it did. It looked like he was targeted that area and his head was down, focused on it.
Not so, cool.
Not cool at all. And the other big news out of that game was during the anthem where the Browns had, was it 12? A dozen Cleveland Browns players organized a group protest to the anthem, all on a knee. Story or not, one of the players was Christian Kirksey. And because he is a white player, ESPN made a huge deal of it. Is it a big deal? I know Michael Bennett had made reference to the fact that this is, you know, in order for this to really have an impact, you need a white player to participate.
Which, it, you know, having said that, there were several over the weekend, too. We saw in Seattle.
The Seattle guy stood with his hand on Michael Bennett.
Was it Carr?
No, that was Derek Carr and Khalil Mack stood side by side. So okay. Khalil Mack didn't kneel, but Carr put his arm around Khalil Mack, basically. And the players did that as a sign of solidarity and to promote racial harmony. And which that's, to me, this has been the whole point all along, is to bring awareness. And so, you know, I'm okay with the fact that the story's now more about what players are doing and getting involved to try to bring attention to it, as opposed to just this being about Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
You know what I mean? A lot more players are getting involved. And I heard the caller, I heard you talk about the caller earlier that said he's not going to watch the NFL anymore.
Done with
because
sports
of this.
In general, but done with his NFL Sunday ticket, and doesn't like that the fact that these players are using a forum that they're only getting because of the fact that they're at their job. You know, they should do it on their own time. And it's just like, okay. I mean, look.
You know what? You have your, I mean, that's your right to not watch the NFL. That's mm-hmm. fine. Just, you know, I get it. I get why it upsets some people, but I think at the same time, you have to evaluate yourself if you think that this is all for nothing. If you think that there's no reason for them to be doing this, I think you need to reevaluate what's going on in this country.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, and the quote from the players, one of the players came out, Kirksey said, if anyone was wondering what was going on in that circle, we were praying over the country, praying over things that are going on. We tried to do it as respectfully as we could. We respect everything that happens with people in the military. We respect all of that. We felt it was the right time to do that. Hugh Jackson, the coach of the Browns, had said earlier this month he hoped none of his players would take part in national anthem protests. But the team as a whole supported the 17 players who did kneel down, and they issued a statement that said, as an organization, we have a profound respect for our country's national anthem, flag, and the servicemen and servicewomen in the United States and abroad. We feel it's important for our team to join in this great tradition and special moment of recognition. At the same time, we also respect the great liberties afforded by our country, including the freedom of personal expression. And that was handled well.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I don't know. I'm glad to see that there's more of like what Derek Carr and Khalil Mack are doing.
Yeah.
I want to see that too. You know what I mean? Where they're saying, hey, look, this is a show of solidarity and, you know, to bring awareness to the situation. Because at the end of the day, you can say that there's not a problem. And I'm not saying, again, it's not about whose side is right or whose side is wrong or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, it's going on. Charlottesville happened.
Yeah.
So you can't deny that there's not an issue.
You
not saying who's right
how you
or wrong.
Want about a blind eye. You look at the eclipse with both eyes if you don't think that there's not something going on.
Yep.
So that was that, and that was your recap of what otherwise was a very, very boring Monday night preseason game.
I'm glad I didn't watch it.
Man, Brandon Marshall also got hurt with a shoulder injury, so the Giants could be down some receivers. Although OBJ, I will say this, though. With all the things we talked about with the hit, he's damn lucky that that wasn't more severe.
Yeah.
Just to come out of it with an ankle and say he's going to be ready for week one, he's extremely lucky.
Speaking of, how about the fact that the Texans, this article by Sarah Barshop, where she talked about the six receivers that are out?
Yep.
Well, I'll give you those names, and then we'll talk about that and, you know, what it's looking like for the Texans at that position as well, because it's kind of, you look at it, you don't really think about it because you saw Ellington play and stuff, but according to her, at practice on Monday, six receivers missed. That's kind of scary.
We've got practice wrapped up, so we've got sound two from Bill O'Brien, Lamar Miller. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the receivers. We'll talk about Texans next. Don't go anywhere. Right here on the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. You just want to keep screaming till they hear you.
restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Little housekeeping on that Brown story. I'd given you the quote, which was from Christian Kirksey, the linebacker. He, along with rookie first-round pick Jabril Peppers, were amongst the guys that participated. The first white player, which I said ESPN was making a big deal about, tight end Seth DeValve. And he said that recent events in Charlottesville had a lot to do with his decision. But he said it was also more involved than that because his wife, Erica, is African-American. And his quote was, "I myself will be raising children that do not look like me, and I want to do my part as well to do everything I can to raise them in a better environment than we have right now." Hey, man, I'm with that guy. I think that, look, I get it, especially because...
Hey, you've got a mixed race baby, huh? It's so weird. I always say that, like, it's, and I think I've mentioned on this show before, but being married to Nora, she's Hispanic, I'm white, I guess.
You guys have a mixed race cat, right?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We have a black and white cat, and we have a gray cat, both mixed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, sometimes I forget, you know what I mean, that I'm in an interracial marriage.
Yep.
It's weird, and I guess it's just human nature. I don't know, maybe it's just my own stupidity, but sometimes I don't think that way. You know what I'm saying?
I don't. I certainly don't. And I have a lot of people, when you refer to your marriage like that, well, look, no, that doesn't count.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, like, I've dated plenty of black women, and it felt, you kind of noticed it more. I noticed it more myself that it was an interracial relationship than being married to a Hispanic woman. It just doesn't, I don't know, I don't see it that way. You know what I mean?
The biggest thing that you deal with, too, is that everybody's analyzing my daughter. And it's like there's an intensity with certain people about, you know, does she look like me or Lisa's family, Lisa's side? And I'm like, to be honest with you, I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as she's healthy and happy, I don't get into all that. And everybody's like, you know, I wish she'd look more like... Lisa, I go, I hope she grows up and looks exactly like Lisa.
God, that'd for be her spectacular. Sake, I do too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I've already told you that. When she was younger, I was worried that she got her dad's head size, and that would have been awful.
Man.
I don't wish that upon anyone. That's one of the reasons why I'm hanging on to my follicles, because I don't want to be the next fill-in for Jack in the Box.
I don't think you have an overly large head, do you? What size hat do you wear?
7.5.
Is that big?
It's okay.
I think I wear a 7 3/8.
That's close.
Yeah, I don't think it's. I don't think you
Nick
have
has a 6 2/3.
Yeah, you got peanut head, Nick. You got a tiny head.
I think I wear a 7, honestly.
You have a normal shaped head, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but
we have large heads.
Yours is proportionate to your body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that you have, like, I know a friend of mine. His name, I'm gonna give his name. He's gonna be mad if he ever hears this. But this dude, he used to be the, I guess the city manager for, was it League City? I don't know, just somewhere down south. But he's a former cop. His name is Chris Reed. He's a judge and a referee for MMA in the state of Texas for TDLR. Used to be a fighter, and he's got the largest, fattest head I've ever seen in my life. We tease him about it all the time. It's just, I'm like, you have to be so smart. Like, you've got to be this. How are you not the smartest man on the planet with all the brain inside of that overly sized head of yours? He's super cool, and he would murder me if he wanted to. He's a big old dude. But yeah, I mean, I would, if you guys were side by side, you would look like you had a little pinhead compared to his.
They were talking about AJ Hinch.
Does he have a big head?
A lot of people talk about AJ Hinch, that when he played and stuff like that, and this hat size and everything like that. He doesn't look like he has a
no,
big
not
he?
At all.
I don't notice it.
Skip.
But I've always seen him with a cap on, so I guess that helps. I don't
know. The skipper. Yeah, he doesn't look he doesn't look like he has a big melon.
Jolly. Niggas never let anything die.
No.
the skipper.
The skipper.
He's still bringing up what, that remote. I won't. They will go nameless. All right. So Sarah Barshop had this article where she said that the title of the article is "Injuries Putting Texans Depth at Receiver to the Test." She basically opens by saying that during practice on Monday, the Texans were without six receivers: DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, Braxton Miller, Bruce Ellington, Devin Street, and Riley McCarron. Of that group, only Ellington and McCarron played in Saturday's preseason victory against the Patriots. They're expecting Fuller to miss around half the season with a broken collarbone. Hopkins likely won't play the next two preseason games. She's just basically talking about the fact that, you know, they're keeping Hopkins limited as far as participation so that he's 100% when the season starts. But you know you're going to be without Fuller. Braxton Miller been a little banged up. So, I mean, they went out and got Ellington, who looked great in the one game that we've seen him in.
Hands were a little...
Yeah.
But, yeah, overall, yeah, especially for a guy just jumping right into a whole new offense and different team, looked pretty good.
But I think the scary thing about that is you want some consistency in these four games because you've got two quarterbacks fighting for a job.
Yeah.
As we'll find out, that may have been already decided.
Right.
But you want those receivers out there so that whoever gets that starting job can, you know, have some consistency with who they work with. So hopefully they get it turned around, but that's something to kind of keep your eye on over the next couple of weeks is how many reps these receivers are getting with the starter.
Yeah, no question about it, because of the fact, like we said, the Broncos named Simeon their starting quarterback yesterday to get it out of the way so that they can avoid some of the distractions and all the extra questions. And you know what? I know that everybody's clamoring for Deshaun Watson, and we've talked about it sometimes ad nauseum on this show, but the bottom line is, you know the way Bill O'Brien's been leaning the entire time, and we don't know how long it's going to take for any kind of switch to happen, but for all intents and purposes, Tom Savage is going to be your guy opening day. In my mind.
Yeah. I think the question isn't if, it's when.
Yeah, right. I agree with that, too.
It's not if Deshaun Watson. You can't make the moves that they made, giving away draft picks for next year and moving up and doing all that, if you're not going to play the guy. I just don't see how they do that. I would agree with you, too.
And obviously, long-term, because of all the tools that he has, because of the fact he is your quarterback of the future, he's probably your quarterback of later this season. But, you know, we had taken predictions of when we think it's going to happen. But the fact of the matter is, you know, it's going to screw up your entire prep for the regular season, because now we know that week three is the game that everybody plays, right?
Yep.
Last week would have been the week to flip-flop them to see what Watson could have done against the ones for a couple series, just because everybody was saying, for as good as he looked in the first preseason game, he was playing against twos and threes. Let's get him some time. That didn't happen. Now, I don't think you run the risk with an unproven quarterback like Savage of taking away valuable reps in that game when he's supposed to get into the second half and play over a half and get used to his offense and his teammates and things he's supposed to be doing. You take that away from him if you put Watson as a starter now.
Okay.
So I don't think you run that risk, because you've got bigger fish to fry, because you got to be ready for that first game. And if this guy is indeed your guy, then give him all the reps and prep he can.
Yeah, if you know who the starter is going to be in your mind, then go ahead and let him do that. On the other side, we've got some audio from O'Brien where he talked about the odds of both of them, like a quarterback by committee, or both of them having a chance to play.
Okay.
We can listen to that, and we can also, I think somebody asked him about standing for the anthem and his thoughts on it. So we'll play that as well.
Yeah, there's some good stuff there. So we'll get to that. We'll get to a whole lot more. If you want to jump into the conversation, whether it be Astros, Texans, or otherwise, please feel free to give us a call, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter, usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. We were talking about the Texans prior to the break, covering a lot of things a little bit more in depth with quarterback, wide receiver. You heard on the Blitz last night that O'Brien was not happy with the way they practiced yesterday. And we had covered, for the most part, Savage and Watson and the fact that to me, it just seemed like for all intents and purposes, Savage is your guy at least early on, so he needs to get the reps. And O'Brien talked about the quarterbacks and if they could play together at times, but he talked about the quarterbacks in general and specifically today after practice.
Sure. I mean, I envision that. You know, I can see that, but that's not, you know, that's not what the approach that we're taking. Tom's the starter. Tom's playing well this camp. You know, Tom has really had a good camp. He's only thrown 3 incompletions in 2 games. He's really got good command of our offense. And I'm, like I've said, Deshaun is a very, very good young player who has a great future in this league. I mean, let's put the cards on the table. You know, that's what it is. But Tom has been here for 4 years. He's really – the way that we want to play, the style that we need to play relative to, you know, getting guys lined up, relative to cadence, relative to protection points and route reads and putting guys in the right spot. Tom's ahead of Deshaun on that.
I mean, that's all you need to know right there in a nutshell.
You, if you read between the lines, you know what he just said? Tom's just going to get us through until Deshaun Watson's ready.
So just to be clear, the question was, does he potentially envision or see a dual quarterback situation
Correct.
Where they both play at the same time? And then he finished off by saying Tom is the starter. So, yeah, just for clarification reasons. But, yeah, he has to say Tom is a starter now until things, what, look really, really bad?
Well, I think to me, and it's a little bit of reading between the lines, but at one point in there, he says things like, getting the receivers in the right position, reading the defenses. He's talking about things that are going to come with experience that Deshaun Watson doesn't necessarily have in this system in the NFL right now, that Tom Savage has been around for 3 or 4 years to be able to do. So to me, it sounds like, yeah, once Deshaun Watson figures that out, he's going to be your starting quarterback.
Look, but until Charlie then, said it the other day.
But until then, it's Tom.
Week 3 is New England. If he lays an egg and really looks bad, he's got an out. There's outs within. We talked about the fact that, you know, if he wants to let it ride for a while, he's got the bye week. What, after week 6, I think it is, in that range. So he's got certain kind of built-in ways that he can make a switch, which wasn't obviously easy for him to do in the past when you had Mallett and Hoyer. But overall, whether you listen to him, whether you listen to national people, whether you listen to football people, I mean, this guy has that it factor. It's just, it's not if, it's when.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, I think that the underlying tone to me in that quote from Bill O'Brien was, Tom's just keeping the seat warm. I mean, he really is. Again, you don't go, and I love how O'Brien's like, hey, well, let's put all the cards on the table. He's really talented. Yeah, that's why you went and got him at 12. This isn't breaking news that you think Deshaun Watson is talented. You gave away next year's number one to go get him.
Yep.
No surprise. It's a ramped up version of, you know, generic O'Brien coaches speak that he thinks Deshaun Watson is really good. Yeah, you drafted him 12th. No kidding. But I think, again, this is more of just a he's keeping the seat warm for how many weeks? We'll see.
But I'll say this. The fact that he came right out and said Tom is the starter, everybody's going to run with that. But that's more than what normal O'Brien coaches speak would hear from him.
But I think we knew that was going to happen, right? I mean, we haven't been saying, oh, well, it's Deshaun Watson is going to be the quarterback in week 1. Now, there were some people after the first preseason game that were like, oh yeah, he's going to win the job. But I think what we've done, a lot of us have talked about, is when will he win the job from Tom Savage, or when will Tom Savage choke the job away?
The only reason why that door was kind of left open was the fact that Mr. Conservative coach speak O'Brien, who never speaks on rookies and doesn't want to talk about, you know, a guy, you know, anybody when they're in their first year, has been so complimentary in praising Watson early. That also led kind of fuel to that fire to get that rumor mill started again, or heated up even more, to consider, you know, could he start right off the bat? Because everybody, of course, is making the unfair comparison too of saying, hey, you know, if Dallas did it last year with Dak, well, Deshaun could be this year's Dak.
Dak wasn't the starter coming out of camp, though. Dak became the starter because of injuries.
Injury, right.
And I think that's the thing that's getting buried here, is a lot of people are saying, oh, well, when is Deshaun Watson going to win the job? Well, if you're not playing, it's going to be difficult to win the job, number one. Number two, Tom Savage would have to choke the job away, and so we can talk about when we think that would happen. But if you look at the first six games before the bye week, it's not the most rigorous schedule in the NFL with Jacksonville, the Bengals, the Titans, and the Browns on there. The Titans are going to be good. Not great, but good. So, I mean, yeah, you're playing the Patriots and the Chiefs, and then there's the rest within the first six games before the bye. So I don't even know that it's a question of when is Tom Savage going to choke the job away. I think what we've forgotten about, and I've heard it mentioned here and there, but it's really a matter of when is Tom Savage going to get hurt?
Right.
Because that's been the MO. He can't stay healthy. He's gotten hurt. I could see that being the most likely scenario in this, and that could happen at any week.
Plus, he had the shoulder, the kind of a scary shoulder surgery that could totally be re-aggravated and kind of come back.
He's had
and
so many freak injuries and crazy injuries that you just, I mean, it's not difficult to think that he's going to get dinged up pretty quick because his track record in 4 years is he's played two games. But when you're talking about the schedule, Barry, I mean, they do have the Patriots in week three.
Yep.
So that's
and the
one
Chiefs,
that,
and that's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, that's one where, you know, of course, there'll be a lot of extra focus on that game and, of course, a lot of extra pressure that goes with it. But we'll see what happens. At practice today, he also addressed, with all the attention that we gave to the Browns and you know, teams, whether you're standing or not for the anthem, he touched on that as well.
Yes, our organization believes strongly in the national anthem and standing for the national anthem. I believe in everyone's right to free speech. I do think that there's a separation between politics and football. In the end, it's about lining up and trying to win the game. But I grew up in a family that made sure that we all understood the rights of people to never look at the color of another man's skin, but to see what was in that man's heart, that woman's heart, to find out what it meant to trust somebody and were they loyal, were they good people. Had nothing to do with what they look like. And at the same time, you know, this, like I said, this organization believes strongly in the national anthem and believes in standing for the national anthem. And, you know, we'll see how it goes from there.
What do you think about that, Bear?
I don't know. I was distracted by the kids screaming in the background.
Yeah, there was. I didn't notice that until I played it on the air.
Kid was running a 4.3 40.
But you know how sometimes the players bring kids. That was at the podium. So, but yeah.
But that podium during camp is outside, right?
Could be.
I think so.
Very well be.
Yeah, yep. I think with people in there, they had the fans in again today in the morning session. So I think that possibly had something to do with it. But that's where do you guys fit? Where do you guys fill in on that one? Because based on what he's saying, and we've heard some other people across the league say this in ownership type roles, that our franchise believes in standing for the anthem. Is that almost like a threat to guys to not do it?
No, I think that's the standard. PR response now, because he's not the first coach basically responded the exact same way as Bill O'Brien. There's multiple coaches that have said that.
Multiple organizations.
But didn't Jerry Jones coaches. Go a little bit farther than that with it?
Well, I think that the standard line on any NFL team is going to be, we believe in standing for the national anthem. We love this country. We respect this country. But
we'll also respect the fact that you'll kneel.
Freedom of speech. That's part of believing in this country, is believing in the right to freedom of speech. And so, yeah, that's the standard line. It's a very politically correct and, you know, I guess a politician's answer is it kind of plays both sides where, well, our organization, we love America and we believe in America, but we also believe that these, you know, American citizens have the right to do what they want to do. So, I mean, it makes sense to say that. It'd be almost foolish to come out and say anything else.
And I bet you a part of the reason why they're saying that is because they've been asked, what is your organization's thoughts on kneeling for the anthem? Oh. If they didn't ask that question, they would just say, hey, look, if our players want to kneel, we'll support that decision. Once the question popped up, what does the owner think about it? What does the organization think about it? Now everybody's saying that.
I think as this thing started to gain momentum and discussion and become prevalent within the NFL on a week in, a week out basis, there's no doubt that there was an email that circulated within every NFL organization in this country and probably every sports organization in this country that said, when asked about this, this is our response. If you are an employee, this is what you say. So if you're Bill O'Brien, if you're Rick Smith, if you're, doesn't matter, this is what you say. And then the players are going to say what they say. So that wouldn't surprise me one bit. Somebody texted and said, don't be so quick to say the Bengals are a definite win. I'm not saying
they're
a definite win.
Underachieved, but
I'm not saying they're a definite win, but I will say that I'm not saying that they're going to be as difficult of games to play early on is the Patriots and Chiefs. I think the Patriots and Chiefs are your two tough games. The Bengals kind of fall somewhere in the middle with the Titans, and then you got the Jags and the Browns of your first six games.
Yeah, don't sleep on the fact that the Chiefs have a really good running game again. They've got some depth at that position, even by letting go of Jamal Charles. And look, Andy Reid knows what he's doing, and they're a well-coached team. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, those are the two bigger games in the first six, but we'll see how it all plays out. Right.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with a whole lot more. Eric Winston, the one-time Houston Texan, now a member of those Cincinnati Bengals, also the president of the NFLPA, had some interesting quotes and comments when asked about a potential labor stoppage with the NFL that we could all be facing in the near future. We'll have that and more when we come back right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, the boys are back for more. Halftime over. Clearly into the third quarter. We continue to roll on. A lot of Texans talk. One thing that we don't want to hopefully get to, but it looks like if you listen to what, from a players union and the NFLPA's point of view, seems like an inevitability that in 2021 we may be facing an NFL work stoppage, whether it be a strike or a lockout. And that's obviously not a good thing something that no one wants to see. But Eric Winston, the ex-Texan, happens to be the NFLPA's president, and he is definitely on the same page with Union Chief DeMaurice Smith, as they believe it's almost inevitable. But when Winston was asked by WCPO in Cincinnati, and it was broached that maybe a strike or a lockout would kill the goose that laid the golden egg in terms of the league itself, he had some pretty interesting comments.
Honestly, I don't care, and I don't think the guys in this locker room care whether this thing's going to be around in 20 years because none of us are going to be playing. So if these guys want to own for a long time, then they can own for a long time, but another work stoppage might kill the golden goose. So I'm certainly not worried about it. I'm not going to be around that long, and I don't care even if they're rookies in here. They're not going to be playing that long. So if this thing dies out in 20 years, it dies out in 20 years. But that's not really my concern, and I don't think it's any of these players' concern in here either.
Wow.
That's pretty strong.
So much for loving the Shield and all that. What happened to all that brotherhood and Shield and love and
I understand
all that? If it goes away, there goes your pension.
Plus, you're thinking, you know, part of the reason why it's, you know, we always talk about players that paved the way for the next generation.
That's what I mean.
I mean, that's what they need to be doing, too. And even when he's talking about rookies, well, 2021, 4 years away, essentially, those rookies are still going to be playing. So it's very pertinent for them.
Yeah, there's a lot of ongoing benefits once you retire as an NFL player.
Yeah.
Once you qualify.
Yeah.
I don't know. Plus all, you know, I mean, the money that they would have for CTE and all that. If the NFL goes away, so does all that. Yeah. So does all the help that they've committed to for all these players that are suffering from CTE. So I think it's almost, in a way, kind of foolish to try to posture like that. Well, you know damn well that they care and that they should care.
Absolutely. And I think that they're actually trying to send just like a flare towards the owners to say, hey, pay attention here and try and
wrong way to do it.
Yeah, I agree. But he also said the union's preparing its players for another prolonged labor dispute coming up. He even addressed that the rookies need to be prepared for a work stoppage, which is inevitable.
Could something happen in that change? Obviously, something could happen. But I think these guys and the guys knowing that, you know, these rookies that are here now are going to be in the middle of that. And I think they need to understand exactly what they're going to be getting into, what they need to prepare for, and what exactly is going to happen. And I think, like I said, I think we have to prepare for that outcome because that's what happened last time. Whether it is or not, we're going to have to prepare for that. You know, that was the inevitable outcome, I think, last time. And I think going forward this time, I think that's the mind frame we all need to be in.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, this makes a lot more sense than you don't care if it goes away. That's a whole different, more drastic and almost silly concept for me
almost
to wrap my head around. There's one, there's posturing, and then there's just being preposterous. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it was.
You work on that on your own?
No.
That was well written.
Thank you.
Well done.
Mike in the Woodlands said, I'd love to hear a coach say, I believe in your freedom of speech, and if you want to stand or not, but leave your beliefs at home. You're at work now, and our employees stand. Well, Mike in the Woodlands, while I understand what you're saying, I'll give you an example. If I work at Halliburton, just as an example, I used to work there. If I work at Halliburton and they want to start every day with a prayer, if that's not my thing, I'm not praying. And if you're trying to make that a part of employment where I have to say this, now there's an issue. And so that's the same thing. I you know, you can't say that it's work, it's a requirement. You know what right. I mean? You can't have, and I've said this before, and I don't think people really grasp it, but you can't have it both ways. You can't say it's sports, leave the politics out of it, but then you play the national anthem. That's the whole point, is you're bringing in the country, the national anthem, the politics, and everything else around it. When you play the national anthem before a sporting event, if you don't want that, then don't play the national anthem. Just have the sporting event. But what you're saying is you're showing respect to the country. You're playing the national anthem, and we all know why we do it, because it's. But that's the whole point of the protest, is they're saying we feel like there is a issue in this country, so we're taking the opportunity where we're you know, putting our hand over our heart for our country to let you know that there's a problem. So with you have to kind of accept that if you're going to have a national anthem before a sporting event. You can't have it both ways. You can't say no politics but then have the national anthem. It doesn't work like that.
No, you're absolutely right. It's a good point.
So
Eric Winston with some pretty strong comments, but we'll see. Look, I don't want to see. I've been through them in the NBA, and anybody that's a fan of sports in general or any specific sport knows just how miserable it is when you go through something like this.
Yeah.
But I do agree, and when I heard him talking about the rookies, I do remember some of the rookies that really had to be like talked to and still didn't get it and went out and bought like high six figure automobiles right before the strike was about to start. And people were just like, I tried. I really expressed how big of a mistake it was.
You're not going to get a check.
And yet the red on red.
Yeah.
Car was purchased anyway.
Oh, you Mike, yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you're getting, you know, that work is going to stop.
Yeah.
When work stops, you don't get a check. That's how that works. That's the whole point. You're making the sacrifice for the greater good,
but
later on
fixed,
down the road.
I'll get a check again, but you don't make up what you lost.
Yeah, they don't put the payments on hold because football isn't being played. And OU Mike said something that I think is interesting, that I'm curious what both of you guys think about it. It says, who cares? Scab football is still football.
No.
Are you watching the NFL?
No.
If it's not NFL caliber players, if that's the case, then you'd be watching the CFL, or you'd be watching NFL Europe,
League of football.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
No, it's not the same thing. Oh, you
not
Mike.
Even close.
It's not the same thing at all.
This isn't The Replacements. I mean, this isn't the movies. This is, you know, in real life. There is such a huge drop off between the NFL and any. Mike McCarthy tried to address it at Packers practice the other day for people that just don't get it. But you are so skilled at your sport to even be considered to being one of these 90 guys on one of these teams right now before the cutdowns happen, that the drop off would be astronomical. It would be terrible.
Wasn't it 87? Was it 87 when they had replacement players in the NFL?
Yeah, because they were talking about, I forget the exact year, but you had the guys that were scabs that were
crossing over
the lines.
It was
really bad.
I need to look it up, but I think it was 87. But it was atrocious football.
Yep.
And it was around, I want to say it was around the time of the USFL as well, right?
Oh, for sure. Yep.
But that's the thing. That's why leagues like the USFL didn't last, because it's the best of the best, and that's why it's what it is.
That's why it's loved and cherished so much by the people.
No one likes mediocre players. Those are the guys that get cut. You really want to watch a bunch of guys that couldn't make the team in the first place play this game? Not really. I'd rather play Madden than actually watch scab football. That's not something that.
Now, would you take it as a long shot, or would you
be playing
real Madden? Would you spend a couple hours on the long shot process?
Or I might. I'd do anything.
It all together from show to show.
Yeah, I would do. I would definitely do that before I'd watch Scab football.
Okay. Well, there you go, Nick.
Frank at 55. My prediction is that the H girls, which I don't understand what that means, the H girls. I think he's trying to say instead of the Cowboys, the Houston girls. I don't know. But he said that he thinks the Texans go 8-8. No, I'm not a Cowgirls fan. Go Pats. That's Frank at 55. 8-8. I mean, that doesn't sound like. I think this was supposed to be a diss.
Yeah.
That's about right, though. I mean, it ain't far off, I don't believe.
I said before the year started, I mean, before we get to real predictions before week one, but my gut feeling was because of the uncertainty and all this stuff, but it's still with the quarterback and with their schedule, I said 8-8 looked about right, 9-7, 8-8.
I went back and pulled up my original first glance, just 5-second, and I had them 10-6.
So Barry's got them going 10-6, gang. What do you
think?
And
I think I need to revisit a couple of games, but not many.
Okay. Well, we have time that we're going to get to that eventually when we start breaking down predictions. For now, we've got 2 hours in the books and one more to go of the big show. That means we got an hour left to cover things you want to talk about and things on our list. If there are things that you want to get off your chest and onto the table, 713-780-3776. Otherwise, you can hit us up on Twitter. We've been really good about responding, and we love the fact that you guys participate in the show. So be a usual suspect, and please participate as we continue to roll on right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.